I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Okay, everybody, we're here. It's the halfway point of Breaking Backwards. We're here. We're in it.
This is episode 31.
31.
Oh my gosh.
After this, we'll have 31 down. We'll have 31 to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild. That's kind of a thing to think about, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the term? When you're swimming across the Hudson. No, not the Hudson. The English Channel. There becomes a certain point. The point of no return. That's the very common phrase I was
thinking. Is that
thinking
actually
of.
Directly related to the swim across the English Channel?
I'm not sure. But, you know, there's the point where turning around is more work than just pushing through it.
I think that I might want to try to do that one day.
You're a really good swimmer.
As far as you know.
Yeah, I've never seen you swim, but... You've told me you're a really good swimmer. I assume you've written essays on swimming or some such.
No, but I do it a lot, so I have to be at least passable, I think, you know.
You swim a lot or write essays about swimming a lot?
I swim a lot. I don't know that I've written an essay about swimming.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Well, you should think about it.
Yeah, I'm going to.
All right. Well, this is Breaking Backwards. You know what it is about based on the intro you heard. We just watched episode 31 for us out of a total of 62, counting El Camino. Yeah, half measures. It's weird. I think this episode's called Half Measures.
Oh.
And the next episode is called Full Measure.
Well, I guess you can only have one total fullness, but you can have multiple halves. So maybe that explains the plurals.
Yeah, no, that's Meg bringing a keen eye to this project that I didn't have, and giving a patina of scholarship to what we are doing. She was summa cum laude, for anyone who didn't realize.
At both colleges
I graduated from.
Yes.
How many majors did you have?
I double majored a
Hell
lot.
Yeah.
I double majored in my associate's and my bachelor's, and then I said...
Yeah.
No more. And then I just stopped doing school.
So that's four total majors?
I suppose so. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And were any of them in communications?
One of them was in writing and producing television, which I consider, you know, similar to communications.
Okay. Well, I did the full stop communications. And
where'd that get you?
Not a lot. I don't really know what the classes were about. But you know what? It seemed helpful.
I bet you could be like a copywriter or something if you majored in communication.
I want to be a ransom negotiator.
Oh, that's I think you need to do like crisis negotiation, like crisis management classes for that type of stuff like that.
I can't just send in my application and be like communications major, so I'm qualified.
No, maybe I don't know. Who the hell knows how this post-COVID world works? Who knows?
We'll get on ZipRecruiter and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Do you think they have a lot of ransom negotiator jobs listed on ZipRecruiter?
They got everything on there. It's a website where all the jobs are.
That's true. Oh, remember you were going to tell your ZipRecruiter story and we kind of gave up on that bit, but you maybe should.
Oh, yeah. Well, I worked for a shitty lady and she was really mean. And then it was the only time I was in LA and I was a lady's assistant who didn't need an assistant. So I was just a prop so that she could seem like she had an assistant. And it was the only time where I like quit and huff, where I was like, I quit. And but she was an awful lady.
I'm so sorry.
She ran a bookkeeping company, and she just didn't have enough business to warrant an assistant. So I felt like a vanity hire. And yeah, that's the whole thing. I guess it's not really ZipRecruiter's fault. So kind of the idea of telling the story is probably better than the story. I'm sorry, everyone.
I don't think you should kneecap your own story. You said that to me
last week,
and I'm going to say
right.
to you this week.
You're right. I'm kneecapping myself, and I'm showing a lack of confidence, which I can get away with you because you're my friend, but I feel like if I want to branch into new avenues in life, like my future hostage negotiating career, I can't do that. I have to show confidence and strength.
Well, so this Half Measures, this week's mm-hmm. episode, begins with, what is the cold open? Shoot.
Well, it's the song. It's the song where they sing about women.
Oh, it is the song. And I felt so bad for this woman. I felt terrible.
It's your first. I did not realize this was her final appearance on the show.
I was expecting a very terrible end to this character. She just goes for a walk, and that's the end of that. Mm-hmm. We get no rap on that. Wendy. What's her actual name? Is it Wendy?
In real life?
No, the character.
Oh, yeah. And the character's name is Wendy. Julie Mineschi is her name in real life.
Mm.
And she looks probably like a normal person, but all I can, like, I'm looking at her headshot, but all I see is the, like, cracked out person.
Yeah.
So she just kind of looks like a regular person, probably in her 50s here, but I can't unsee it.
But I just felt really bad for her. Everything about her day seemed very tough, and I felt bad for her. I don't know. They did a good job mm-hmm. making me feel sympathy for this character.
Yeah, if you don't remember, it's a fun song where we see Wendy's day. She gives many blowjobs, and she buys a lot of drugs, and she deals with bad customers who don't hold up their end of the bargain in the blowjobs.
And she also drinks a lot of root beer.
She loves root beer. That's a thing, yeah.
Is that really a thing?
Oh, it's a thing. She loves root beer.
I mean, it's pretty delicious. I like it a lot.
It might be my favorite pop.
Is it?
Oh, sounded really Midwestern there.
Yeah, I usually say soda, but I don't know that helps at all.
I can't remember the last time I said that other word. It's soda. One calls it pop. There's some places where they call it Coke, no matter what.
I was just thinking about that, and that is weird. It's in I've been to, what do they call it, a Waffle House in Louisiana that asked me what type of Coke I wanted, and I said, the water type, thank you. I don't drink the devil's syrup. And they said, what?
The devil's syrup. Look at you. That's a fun phrase. But yeah, the whole point of this is we see Wendy's life. If we are to realign ourselves that this is her actual first appearance in the show, what an entrance.
Yes. I mean, for me, what an entrance to see this woman's terrible life, just one after another, you know, given Hummers in crappy cars with, you know, that crushed type of felt, like, interior. You know exactly what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. And I just felt bad.
She takes a dump in an alley.
She does. Are we sure she's shitting there? Maybe she's just pissing? She's shitting.
She might just be pissing. That's true.
Yeah.
But I think the only really, like, plot point of the scene is she's buying from two dealers, and Jesse's watching her buy from two dealers.
Yes. And I don't... Mm-hmm. I had no frame of reference on who these two dealers were, but they seemed important to Jesse.
Yeah, he... Yeah, they seemed important.
I understand later why they're important, but as of that point, I had no idea what was going on.
They're just two guys.
They're just these guys.
And then we get into the meat of this episode. I love this episode. I was really excited to get to this one. more than Full Measure, I like this one.
Is this one of the top five ones on the list, the Ranker website, I guess?
Let me look that up.
We usually cover this at the end of the episode.
Fuck it.
Fuck it all.
Fuck it, we'll do it. Who cares? We're in a coup.
They're calling it a soft coup. Isn't that wild?
Well, there's a coup, a junta, and a putsch.
I hadn't heard the term junta, and you used it last week, and I was like, junta, junta.
Well, because a coup, technically, you need the military support, and he doesn't have that.
Ah, yes, he does. He absolutely does not have that.
Yeah, which is good.
So it's technically a junta?
Well, I think it might be a putsch, which is a French term, I think. We'll find out more about this next week. I'm not sure. hopefully the coup will be over next week. Anyway, where do you think this ranked? Fuck it, we'll do it now.
Is it number 4?
No, it's not number 4. It's 15.
Oh,
which
okay.
is a little low for me.
I guess for some reason I just thought it was number 4. my bad.
Which one's number? When do we get to number 4? Oh, well, number 4 deserves its spot, but
it's not one I had seen yet.
It's not one you've seen yet. No.
Okay.
But yeah, this episode is just kind of weird. the way we're doing it, because all the relationship dynamics between our major players is totally different than it is next week.
I feel like, you know, when this is all said and done, I'm going to have to watch it forward, because I feel like how Jesse and Walt flip and the change that I see in just a few episodes where they're like prioritizing Jesse and trying to get rid of Walt happened super quickly, because right here they are about to kill Jesse, you know?
Yeah. Well, so the kind of timeline for my eye is they're like, no, Walt's great. Wow. We love Walt. Yeah. At the beginning of this episode, Walt's life is pretty sweet. He's makes a lot of money. He's making drugs. He's on pretty good terms with his ex-wife, and his boss seems to respect him a great deal.
Yeah. It seems as though, you know, he's done whatever he's had to do to earn Gus's trust, because in that flashback we saw a few episodes ago with Gail being like, I doff my cap to you, good sir, when they're setting up the lab with all the nice equipment, it made it seem like Gus did not trust Walt at all. And I don't know how long ago that was, obviously. But so it seems like Walt's, you know, he's in a good place. He's earned the people's trust he has to earn. He's happy with, or everybody seems to regard him pretty well. And Jesse's the wild card who people can't seem to depend on because of his drug problem and everything.
Yeah. And then they successfully unwild card Jesse all of season four, while Walt gets increasingly more wild card. That was always like, I'm always sympathetic towards Jesse, but I feel like he should be like a little grateful to Walt in season four after what Walt did this episode.
Yeah, I agree with that. That, you know, Jesse was as good as dead in this episode. And then all of a sudden, you know, Walt kind of saved the day for him. I guess, well, they pay that. They swap that debt pretty quickly, though, too. In the next episode.
Oh, true. I guess Jesse kills Gail for him.
Yeah. Like you said last week, he super doesn't deserve that. So it seems...
Super not. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so I guess I don't think Jesse should be more grateful. you literally changed my mind in the span of like a few seconds.
Let's see. Where were we? What happens after the cold open? Man, I watch it with headphones on, I swear to God. And then when we get to sit down and talk about it, I'm like, that was an enjoyable piece of television. I just can't remember everything.
That's okay. Yeah. So sometimes I go back and forth on whether like we should go scene to scene or whether like just like fat, like don't even look at it. Just talk about what we remember. But then I'm like, well, I don't know if we even be able to fill the time. Cause I'd be like, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. It was a good episode.
Yeah, July.
That's it.
Like, yeah, it was pretty sweet. That part was sick. I don't know what, I don't know what you, the audience wants. I don't know what I want. And we're halfway through.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, the
Marvel Cinematic Universe was like got 10 movies in before they started getting good, in my opinion.
Is that true? Is that how, really? Which one did you start to like them? Because I liked Iron Man fine.
I really don't like any of them until the first Avengers. Really? And then they were okay. I think phase three is when I started kind of really liking them.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I get that. I didn't like the second Avengers very much. I only like James Spader's being a smart ass, and that was pretty much it. But I kind of think that the first Avengers and most of the second are a little too like, we're cool people doing cool stuff and we're also sexy.
Yeah, they're too hot.
Yeah.
Is Mark Ruffalo sexy?
Yes.
Okay.
Out of all of them, in my opinion, he's the sexiest.
Well, you have a specific type, Meg.
Yeah, I know. But
which is a Mark Ruffalo type.
Yeah, I like a soft-spoken Mark Ruffalo type. But also, I mean, that Hemsworth is pretty sexy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the Incredible Hulk. I'm going to get mad. That's what Mark Ruffalo sounds like to me.
He kind of mumbles and he kind of like grunts a lot, don't you think? Like, I think his...
Don't make me angry. Don't make me angry, okay?
Stop it.
Stop it. Stop it. Oh, my God. I'm the Incredible Hulk. Okay. Sure. After the cold open, it's Walt's driving Flynn around, and Flynn's driving with 2 feet.
I remember when I first did that, and you fuck up if you do that, man. You shouldn't do that.
Okay, so I don't drive like that, but I feel like it's, if you're in an automatic, it makes sense to drive like that. Why don't we, the car feels designed to drive with 2 feet, but we just chose not to.
I heard that you, like, you know, can kind of put too much stress on the brake because you unintentionally just, like, press it down even a little bit, and that it engages the brakes. So that's why you're not supposed to do it. And then, like, my car, this is not important, but, like, also I think that there is a thing where, like, you might be able, you might, if you needed to, like, hit the brake, you might accidentally hit the gas, like you just would be like and hit both at the same time.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I guess we shouldn't drive with 2 feet.
Yeah, my car will, like, it sees it's about to get into a collision, not, like, turn off the gas basically, because I got one of those mm-hmm. highfalutin cars. It's not, it's a Subaru, but
it has a backup camera, which freaked me out the first time.
I like my backup camera a lot.
It seems awesome. I rented one with one recently, and it's a game changer.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So, yes, we see Walt Jr. being like, hey, let me take your nice car. Mom's car is too shitty for my driver's test. And I remember my driver's test, and I didn't enjoy it. I don't know why. I didn't want to get my driver's license very much when I was, like, a teenager. I didn't care for driving.
I didn't have to take a driver's test, which is pretty cool. There what? Was a, yeah, in driver's ed, if you got below a C, you had to take a driver's test. But everyone else, it was like one out of every eight was randomly chosen to take a driver's test if you got above a C. And I got a C on the nose. My teacher hated me, but gave me a C. He sucked. But I just realized I've named two authority figures this episode and said they suck, and maybe I'm the problem.
I don't know. I think all driver's ed teachers are a problem, because my driver's ed teacher, who is also a gym teacher, she sucked.
Okay. Well, yeah, so I had to take a test, and I probably should have. So, but then later I drove Lyft, and I didn't get it. I've never been in a car accident.
Knock on.
Well, I don't even drive a car anymore, so it's like, I don't know. What am I going to knock on? Well, what?
I got my driver's license through a fair amount of nepotism, because my dad is a police officer and knew the guy at the DMV who was a police officer who was injured in the line of duty. And that was, like, his new job, was to work at the DMV. And it was just, like, a buddy of my dad. So, like, I had the easiest driver's test ever. And he just basically had me pull around the corner and just, like, hang out for a minute. And then he said, okay, you passed your driver's test. And that was it. And I was
that was an easy
test. I was like, this feels irresponsible considering I hate to drive and probably shouldn't be, but okay, cool. Anyhow, so then when they return the car back, Skylar is like, hey, may I talk to you for a second? What did you think about me running some type of business so I could launder this here money? Because she was in the scene before just quickly Googling and Wikipediaing, how do you launder money? Which I thought was pretty funny.
It's pretty fun. Yeah. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
That's true.
And Wikipedia came out when I was in high school, and it was like, it was treated like fake news. Like, our teachers were like, we know you're going to want to use this sexy Wikipedia thing, but you can't. And it probably just, like, wasn't as monitored as it is now. Cause, like, it's still not a source, but it can lead you to sources.
I think it's a good rudimentary place to get some base information and then know where to go from there. Right.
Yeah. That's what I was like. We had to do a project on, like, Greek gods. And I remember telling my friends, I was like, dude, each one of these Greek guys, it's a Wikipedia page all to themselves. It's wild. And that is, like, all the info you need. And then did you have projects where they're like, for your sources, two of them must be hard copy books from the library.
Yeah.
And you can have two internet sources. And so, yeah, a lot of it was going on Wikipedia and then trying to backfill book sources based on what you found there.
Yes, so I wrote a lot of, like, academically published papers in college, as was part of the, like, you know, summa cum laude experience. And I would have to use LexisNexis and all those, like, internet publication sites. They're like, I cheated that way, where I was like, well, If I use the publications in like the periodicals, that counts as a hard copy, right? So that I could like essentially oh God, this is a boring conversation.
I don't think it's boring. And I think if you think it's boring, shut this shit down. I don't know. We gotta don't listen to it if you don't want to. I dare you. I dare you to stop listening. You listen to the first episode. That fucking sucks compared to this.
Does it really?
Yeah, the first episode blows. Episode two is money, but episode one sucks. No, this isn't the halfway point because we've only done 30 good episodes.
I don't know why you shit on that one. I thought it was nice. We had a nice conversation.
Nah, it's pretty fun. I don't know. I thought I was annoying.
I always think I'm annoying because, I don't know, I'm a girl and we have low self-esteem in general.
I don't. I think us boys have pretty low self-esteem, or at least a certain amount of us do. And I have certainly met some highfalutin women who have some pretty high self-esteem.
Oh, well.
Those people with high self-esteem in general, I don't care for them.
I think maybe because we are like comedy people, I just feel like my world is mostly low self-esteem men and women.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, and I don't see other people. I just don't see them. I just only know comedians.
Is this the only scene with Skylar this episode?
Well, she's there for dinner, too.
Oh, right. Yeah, the TV doesn't shut itself off, is what she says 30 minutes later.
Yeah, wow, that is interesting that she really doesn't have much to do in this episode. Usually she's so busy, that Skylar.
Yeah, which kind of a wrap on her in the season, which is she's not in next episode except for briefly in the background. And then she's barely in this episode.
It's interesting to think about when she had this conversation with him about money laundering. It seemed like she had just recently kind of found out that, or this was relatively new news, that he's been doing and selling drugs, because she was like, this is a really bad situation. And she was just addressing it in a way with more severity than she had in the episodes I had seen already. So it seems like we're encroaching on a time when maybe she finds out about things. Because it seems like she wasn't on board from episode one or two, like the pilot, right? Like, it seems like this is probably something he hid from her, so.
Well, time will tell.
It absolutely will.
Yeah. And then they negotiate about custody, which is fun.
Well, not custody, but like him just being present in the house, I guess.
Oh, right.
It was very interesting to see her kind of stand her ground on things while he tried to like swing his dick a little bit.
He wasn't even being that manipulative. He was just kind of being whiny.
Yeah, like, no, I want this. So I think he was like doing a hard power move, and it's maybe she's like the type of person who responds to some more soft power. But that was interesting to see.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and then they mentioned she's like, we're going to buy a car wash. And he's like, a car wash, you say? Never. Won't work.
Whoa, what? Yeah. And she was like, if I am to be complicit in this drug dealing business, it would make more sense that I have at least some agency here instead of just being completely clueless. Walt wants her to have plausible deniability, which doesn't make sense to her because they've always lived so meagerly, and all of a sudden he starts giving her cash hand over fist, and she's like, what, I'm going to tell the cops? I had no idea, you know?
Well, I think the trick is you pay like your bills and your taxes with the money you got legally.
Yeah.
Then you buy groceries with cash. And then you just keep the other cash in a room.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you don't need to launder it. That's how I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, think about buying... I feel like if listeners, if you feel like trying to see if Adam and I could launder money successfully without getting caught, I invite you to send us bags of cash. Adam, give them your address. Mm-hmm. And
yep, sure. It is 6969 Buttfuck Road.
Oh, wow. New York City.
Yeah,
so
I live on a cool
edgy
street. Yeah, New York, every street is a dirty name, which is fun. But anyway, yeah, we could launder money. It's fucking easy.
Yeah. I would do so good at laundering money because I think I would just, like you said, I would, you know, all the feeding my children and myself, buying them essentials, I could do with just cash that nobody could trace, and I would just be the same type of clothes, but at least I'd have the money for it, right?
As long as you don't buy a fancy car,
yeah,
you're fine.
But we see him buy two fancy cars later.
He does do that, and he ought not. And that is the that is his problem, and it's a problem of hubris, which I don't think you and I suffer from.
Oh, we really don't.
we super do not. And I feel like my trip-ups in terms of spending are I tend to buy a lot of little things, too many. And I feel like that won't get on anyone's radar. But these Wall Street jerks, what they do is they buy a few really, really big things, and that's what gets them.
Yeah, I think that nobody is going to be like, he's bought too many board games this year. Where is he getting this money? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's going to, like, trace it back through that, right? Like, he mm-hmm. can't have, give me the example of a really highfalutin board game.
Lisboa.
Yeah. Nobody's going to be able to say Lisboa is out of his price range. There's no way he could afford something that
it's
night.
It's a $110 game. How did he get it? He works in customer service.
Exactly.
I just looked at the one to my right. Oh God, I own too many of these fucking things. I've made a mausoleum
of games.
Anyway, of games that, well, so here's the thing. Mm. I was into games before the pandemic. I had about, I had like 10. And during the pandemic, when I have no one to play them with, I just to keep me sane, I've bought so many because just the dopamine rush of buying something online and getting a present is hard to deny. And so I didn't look like a freak before the pandemic. I just had a few, a few games that are like kind of niche. That was fun. And now, Christ, I don't know. And I touched them, and I don't know if they bring me joy, but they're here now. So that's the end of that story.
You're gonna find a group of people there when the world starts again, and they're gonna all play board games with you. It's gonna be great.
My roommate's really into them. So that's
good. That's good.
He's been mopping the floor with me though. Yeah, he's really good.
Wow.
And I teach him the rules wrong, and he still wins.
You do that on purpose?
No, I don't do that on purpose. And I do get rules wrong, but that's just my incompetence.
So now...
Yeah, that's not my brain pan.
Now that Skylar has, said he can come over for dinner with 6 hours notice, 4 days a week, what happens
Then we go to the new... they're at the lab, and it's a version of the lab we haven't seen. It's a pretty chill lab. With not really anyone watching them.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesse's like, hey, get a beer with me.
Oh, and Walt goes, no thank you. He goes, get up here with me.
Yep. And then it just cut to beer. They're at a place called Paul's.
I've definitely seen a lot of, like, fancy-smancy roadside restaurants in the suburbs of a place like this before, and I think it's... It reminds me of back home. Walt has a stein of beer. Jesse's got a Coca-Cola. And Jesse and Walt whisper at each other for 3 minutes about Andrea's little brother. Oh, about a man named Combo, who was recently killed by some drug dealers.
Some child.
Oh, wait. Oh, the 11-year-old killed Combo?
The 11-year-old killed Combo is what he's saying.
Oh, I thought and the 11-year-old was just dealing. I didn't realize the 11-year-old.
The 11-year-old was dealing, and the 11-year-old killed Combo is what he's mad about. And he's mad that he didn't realize... He knew that a child killed Combo. He didn't realize that it was Gus behind the dealers who would hire a child to kill Combo.
So Gus is not saying use children, but Gus is... These are Gus's dealers who have independently made the choice to use children.
And it's never really confirmed or denied whether or not Gus ordered it, knew about it, was cool with it. He's just like, in this episode, he's like, hey, no more kids.
Yeah.
So he clearly never, like, had a big policy about it. And
I find it interesting because in episodes we've already seen when Walt is trying to get Jesse to agree to kill Gus, he's very upset. He uses the kid thing as a way to try to entice Jesse to do it. But here, the revelation that Jesse gives Walt that, kids are being used in this way isn't one that, like, is met with a lot of shock and awe from Walt. He's like, well, I don't know. Like, it's bad. But it's not, like, it doesn't make him enraged or anything.
Walt kind of reacts to everything the way most Americans react to, like, crisis in the Middle East.
Oh, like, he's just that detached from it, you think?
Like, oof, shit, yeah, that's a tragedy. But What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's just over. That's just a problem for not America. And so that is just kind of the way he reacts.
Yeah.
He reacts the way a lot of us reacted to coronavirus in January.
Very true. Very true.
Mm-hmm. Which is just like, ooh, fuck. Sounds like a drag for the Chinese.
Good thing we're safe here in America, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Thank you, red, white, and blue. Keep us safe. Anyway, that's how he reacts. Oh, and most importantly in this scene, and we'll explain why it's important later, there's a bowl of peanuts on the table.
Oh, yes. I wasn't so observant. You really, I noticed the second one because how could you miss it? But I didn't notice this one.
Yeah, that bowl of peanuts is going to come back. Don't you worry. We'll get back to it. but it's really Chekhov's peanuts, which is fun. But he wants to kill these dealers with ricin is the crux. And Walt's like, can you jag off? Don't.
Don't do it. Don't get involved. You're going to get yourself killed, essentially. So this was what I was talking about. I don't know if you caught it. Walt kind of did this move of being like, hey, you were too like high and strung out before to save your friend Combo. You could have killed these guys. Why do you got to kill him now? Oh, that's right, because you were on drugs, you dipshit. And I thought that was a mean approach. I didn't think tough nut love was necessary there, but I don't often think tough love is necessary at all. So that's that.
Yeah. And I just want to bring this up in case it passed by, because they mentioned someone named Combo. They also mentioned someone named Tuco. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I heard about Tuco, but what was the deal with Tuco?
All they mentioned was they're like, because he wants to poison these two dealers, and he goes, that's what you wanted to do with Tuco. And he's like, Tuco wanted to kill us. So, let's make sure.
Oh, okay. So that must be another bad boy.
It seems like a mean boy or girl.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
I feel like it's all boys. I feel like Lydia is the first girl.
That's true. probably. But, so they're going to kill... He wants to kill... Walt says apples and oranges a bunch.
That he does say apples and oranges a bunch. And then Jesse's like... And he leaves.
Let me buy your beer.
Yeah. And then he throws down money and he stomps away. And Walt's like, well, I guess I'll just finish this myself.
And then we get a sex scene.
Yes.
Kinda.
Oh, are we talking about which sex scene? It's not Marie with Hank, right?
That's Marie with Hank.
We haven't even talked about Flynn with Hank in the hospital. How are we getting...
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's the same scene, isn't it? Is it not? Oh, it is a different scene. Yeah, Flynn's not in there when they jerk.
Playing cards and all of a sudden she decides to beat off her husband.
Yeah, there's two scenes in the hospital. Yeah, she doesn't jerk him off when Flynn's there. My bad, everyone.
there's one scene where in the hospital where Hank's in the hospital playing cards with Marie and Flynn, and he's like, I don't want to leave the hospital because my legs don't work. And Flynn's like, hey, what should people in wheelchairs, they all need to be in hospitals. What should I be in hospital too? Because I have crutches. And he's like, shut up, you little prick. And it was like, yeah, man, what a grumpy grouch head.
Yeah, it's pretty fun, Colin. I can't wait to call my niece names, like adult names. But I can't yet because she's a baby.
I mean, this would be the time to do it. She won't remember.
I swear in front of her a lot, but not. I can't say it to her or else, you know, that feels evil.
That's it.
And then Marie's really good at cards. That's the other main thing.
But Flynn is better.
Flynn's better.
So then Flynn leaves and immediately Marie is like, let me give you a sponge bath. And she starts washing him. And then she...
I guess that's later, my bad. I don't know. I guess we can do it now. Who cares?
I mean, it's really... This ends that story. It's its own self-contained thing. So during the sponge bath, Marie is trying to convince him, like, let's get out of here. You just want to have nurses give you sponge baths. That's why we're here. And then she starts playing with his penis. And he's like, stop it. You're not going to do anything. And she's like, if I can get you hard, we get to leave. And then he goes, fine, you have 1 minute. And actually, he was being like the meanest I've ever seen anybody be during a handy. But she successfully gets him off because, he fights it a little and then just kind of gets beside himself and is quiet. And then the next cut to him getting wheeled out of the hospital. And there you go.
Yeah, she does some little Dom sub stuff where she's like, come on, struggle. You're so helpless, which is kind of cute and hot. And then, yeah, it's a fun cut. And then it's a fun pan from him in the wheelchair to her smiling because she made him come a bunch. And that's a season wrap on Hank and Marie.
It is. You're absolutely right. Yeah. It is.
I remember that being funny. Because then the next time we see him, it's like Hank's being really mean during physical therapy and collecting rocks.
Just screaming at his wife, like.
Yeah. But that's fun. Yeah, that's hand jobs are great, and everyone should give them to each other, and then we'll all be a lot happier.
Yep. I think that, you know, it seems like people really enjoy the handies, and, you know, God bless America. Mm-hmm. God bless hand jobs.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and then the next, I guess we could start talking about Walt's in Saul's office and Saul's playing solitaire.
Oh.
And there, he comes up with a plan to get Jesse arrested.
Yes, he wants to get Jesse off the street for like 30 days to have things cool down. And Saul is like, you want to get your criminal partner arrested? That seems like a bad idea, but okay. And then he said, I'll put my PI on it. And because I had never heard Mike referred to in this way, I was like, oh, is Mike going to be introduced here? But you told me it was not his first appearance. And I believe you.
Yeah, I should have lied, because then you would have figured it out when Walt was like, what are you doing here?
I know you.
Yeah, well, because Jesse's plan is he's going to get Wendy, the meth dealer from the intro. Sorry, I'm all belching.
It's all good.
I had two big pieces of Brooklyn Za today.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're just all up in my larynx. And he's like, I'll give you a bunch of this blue meth. Like, I work there. And that just kill these guys, and it'll be fine. And she's like, and that's that.
Yes, give them the burgers with all of the rice in it, and it'll all be gravy. And she eventually agrees. And then Mike shows up to... That's not next. What's next?
No, next is Mike showing up. You nailed it.
Sweet. So Mike shows up to...
he shows up to... sorry.
Walt's house while Walt's taking care of the baby. And he's like... I don't think people will like it, including our boss, if you get Jesse, putting the slammer. And then he tells this very upsetting story about when he was a cop going to like this couples who constantly had domestic disputes called in, and this guy who had beat up this little lady who was afraid of him and, threatening to kill him one day. Deciding not to, and then 2 weeks later, that, you know, dude ended up killing his wife or girl or his lady or whatever, and he was like, I took a half measure, I should have taken the full measure, I'll never make that mistake again. Basically saying that, you know, Jesse's too much out of control, he's gonna end up doing something that affects everybody, something terrible, and he thinks that they should kill Jesse.
Yeah, there's two things I'd like to point out. So he did do all those things, but he brought over his copy of One-on-One, the Best Monologues for Mature Actors from the Applause Acting Series by Stephen Fife. And he said, I got a doozy for you. And then he performed that. And then most importantly, there's another bowl of peanuts.
Oh, there's a great, between it's them. Enormous. Like, who would need this many? Also with a baby around, what if it's allergic?
And so importantly, the peanuts at the restaurant were no shells. These peanuts, shells.
Ah.
So symbolically, I think it means Walt's got his guard up here, but he doesn't with Jesse. And so that's what that means. And that's subtext, and they could have made it text, and they didn't.
So true. He could have picked up a peanut and gone, this... I relate to this here nut myself.
You see, peanuts come in a lot of varieties. Planters, you scoop them out of the bag. But here, I like a little more work. So That's a metaphor.
And done.
And scene.
Remember the other day when we were talking about metaphors, Walt? This is a good metaphor for you. All right, so then we go to... Is it Jesse waiting for the guys to show up with the, so they can poison
One second.
Him?
I'm trying to click off the Amazon page for one-on-one, the best monologues for mature actors. So, yeah, the next one is Jesse's at the corner, and Wendy's like, well, they know it's poison.
Yeah, and Jesse's like, no, everything's going to be fine. Where are they? I just see the kid riding his bike. And then Victor and Mike knock on the windows. They tell Wendy to scram. That's a rap on Wendy, everybody. And series rap on Wendy.
Series rap! Not in season 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And doesn't die somehow.
Must have been. And then he gets taken to the chicken distribution center where they go to a conference wagon, and in it is the two drug dealers and Mike and Walt and Gus, and Jesse's like, what the fuck is this? And Gus gets really quiet and he's like, you've been a bad boy, you guys had beef, you know.
Have you ever seen Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
I don't think so, no.
You've never heard the soundtrack,
right? I don't think so.
Oh. The way you said Mike and Gus and Jesse and Walt, there's a part where they describe all the colors on his Technicolor Dreamcoat. And they go, it was red and yellow and green and brown and auburn and cirrus. And like, it's so, it just kind of reminded me of that.
I wasn't trying to do that.
Oh, I was about, okay, I was going to applaud your dope reference to an okay play. But, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Long, long ago, way back before the Bible began. I think that's a line from it, the opening line.
Hamilton's better. You must have seen it a bunch to be able to quote it like that.
Bro, I went to Catholic school, and Donny Osmond had a film version of it that they showed like every year.
Well, there you go. So. Mm-hmm.
And I...
I want to know. Were you joking?
No, I auditioned for it once in the Des Moines Playhouse as an 8th grade chorus member, and I made it, but then it interfered with summer camp, so I didn't do it.
Well, I mean, summer camp's pretty fun, so I would have probably chosen summer camp.
Yeah, I chose summer camp. I didn't realize that it was... Because I knew you could skip summer rehearsals, but summer camp was during tech week, and I didn't want to miss summer camp, so I decided to go with summer camp, and I kind of wish I would have done the dream coat instead. So,
Do you think you would have made out if you did dream coat? Because that's the only reason I ever made any choice in eighth grade.
I certainly didn't make out at summer camp.
I made out so much at summer camp.
I was pretty puffy.
Puffy?
Yeah, very chapped. I was very chapped lips, chapped face, dry skinned, a lot of acne. So, and like, it just looked, I feel like if anyone wanted to make out with me, they would like be worried, like, that's going to hurt him. Because he just looks like his face looks like an ingrown hair.
Goodness, you were very inflamed, huh?
I was very inflamed. Yeah.
Wow.
Looked like there was just like pus in the periphery of any one skin cell on me. So, I don't know. I can show you some pictures.
Please.
They're not great.
Well, I had pretty clear complexion, and I kissed a lot at summer camp. Not to brag or anything.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And it was red and yellow and green and blue. Okay. They're all in the room, and two of them are tough guys who don't talk ever.
Yeah, and they kind of have shitty little smirks, and I would want to run over them with a car if I saw those fucking smirks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to run a lot of people over with a car. That seems... Okay, I've never killed anybody.
Sure.
If I had to pick a way to kill somebody, and when I knew they were bad, like a bad person, that'd be the way I'd do it.
You think that that's enough disconnect for you to not feel...
No, that's the most fun.
That's funny.
It sounds... Yeah, it looks... It's just funny. I don't know. I've been hit by a car. It's not fun, but...
Whoa.
Yeah, when I was on a... I got clipped in Chicago when I was on a jog. Yeah.
Damn. What happened? Did the guy stop?
They drove off. And some lady was like, I'll call the police. And then I was like more embarrassed than anything. And so I just kept jogging.
What street were you on?
What street was that? Belmont, I think.
Oh, that makes sense. And you were jogging in the street?
I was jogging and I was crossing the street. And it was like a 5-way stop. And I didn't have it was my fault. I didn't have the walk symbol, but I was like, but I'm pretty sure this group of cars can't go. But I didn't realize that the lane I was crossing, the far right lane, had a green right turn arrow. Mm. And a car trying to turn right really fast and catch that clipped me. And then he must have gone, ooh, shit, I got priors, and drove off.
Yeah, my goodness. Yeah. I don't know. That's wild.
Yeah, I probably should have called the police. I probably could have gotten a lot of money.
Maybe. Emotional shit, man. That's
rough.
Yeah,
bunch of witnesses. Bunch of people got that license plate. So, wow. Oopsie daisy. Yeah. I didn't break anything. For a week or so, I couldn't lift my arm above my head, but that's about it.
Whoa. Man, I had no idea. That sounds super freaky.
First week in Chicago.
Yeah, the, welcome to the city. Yeah. Big city, broad shoulders.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gus asked the guys, the smirky drug dealers, to step out, and then he gets really, really quiet, and he goes like, you only have one friend in this room, and it's this guy, and if it weren't for this guy, you'd be dead, and do you understand? You're going to shake those guys' hands, and he goes, no, they're using kids, and then they just kind of stare at each other for a little bit.
And he kind of gushes over Walt a little bit. He's like, yeah. This man who I have so much respect for and I will always have respect for and is the coolest, most responsible, best person that I've ever met. Oh, and he also says this line, which isn't that good of a line, but I like how he says it, where he's like, don't look at him, look at me.
Yeah.
Which is scary. A lot of teacher energy.
Yeah, he definitely has like some... What do they call those? Like a dean of a high school. Like,
yeah, like a dean of discipline or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds, yeah, it's good pull.
Yeah, I did it. I did it good. So then the guys come back in and he said, no kids. And then they're like, okay. And they all shake hands.
Because he tells Jesse, he's like, hey, you're going to want to apologize to them. And Jesse's like, fuck no. And then he invites him in. He's like, you know, Jesse haggled a little bit, so now we're going to do no kids.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, fine, no kids. But, you know, you can't just fire someone in the drug world, as we learn later on.
So, yes, because then we go to Jesse in bed with Andrea smoking a cigarette.
Which, this feels like, until the sad part at the end, this feels like a scene from, like, a worse show. Like a post-coital cigarette scene.
Yeah.
Which is very funny.
Yeah, it did kind of feel like I was seeing something out of Grey's Anatomy or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, look at, they've just had sex.
Mm-hmm. It probably smells.
It probably is very humid and sticky in there. Mm-hmm. And then Andrea gets a call on the phone, and guess what? It's her grandmother, and Tommaso has been murdered.
I think it's just Tomas.
Oh, is it? My bad.
Yeah, that's okay. It's just, I don't know. Is it... I was like, that sounds like not racist, but like adding an O onto a Spanish name just out of the blue. I don't know. It's like when you're trying to like, if you've seen like a bad comedy where you're like some Americans trying to haggle with a Spanish person. He's like, Rodo.
I honestly thought it was Tommaso. Also, like, we had a whole part in the episode last week where you were just really butchering, you know, Asian names, and so I feel like I didn't flame you for that, and so my bad, I'm sorry.
You should have flamed me for it, and you know what? I'll happily own it. Wait, what Asian names was I butchering? I don't remember this.
Well, it was Chow and Cho and Chow.
Oh, yeah, again. Yeah. I should have been harangued for that. Absolutely. Pretty racist, the host of this show.
We don't mean to be, we're just fucking idiots sometimes.
But you know what? That's when you live in a racist country, the racism's going to creep in. Anyway.
Okay.
So, hey, we got to talk about race. It's just, we got to.
It's a hard hitting podcast like this. You have to.
Our first 10 episodes, any friend who texted me about it was like, this is good. You guys don't talk about race at all. And it's what the people wanted. So there we go.
It's all we get. We're just giving the people, our adoring fans, what they demanded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to sometimes just fuck up and be a little racist, then you're really sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Racist on accident. And then, oh, shit, my bad.
Yes.
and then talk about it for too long.
Okay, so moving on.
Okay.
You see that the 11-year-old is dead at the playground, and then you go from the playground right to the house of the white people, the white family, and then they're having dinner. And
Jesse doesn't show up to work, and
that's true.
We call him a bunch, and I just realized we hear Jesse's voicemail a lot
in this episode. Yes, we do. I was thinking about like what that looked like in the script. Just so many like entries of like voiceover. This is me, do the thing or whatever.
Does it in season 4 a few times too, where like his phone's. When Jesse almost gets kidnapped in season 4, and hey, it's me, do the thing.
Yeah.
And it's, Yeah, we're at the White House. Sorry, you can go on.
That
wasn't worth it.
Skylar is cooking, and the TV's on, and they're watching Jeopardy, I think, and there's a Walt Whitman line and I was like, whoa, so
Walt Whitman's
pretty important to the show.
Yeah. Oh, and then Skylar, I don't know if you saw what she was making. Did you see what she was making on the stove?
No, what?
She was roasting peanuts. She was roasting peanuts, furthering the metaphor that she can get through Walt's hard exterior.
And the heat is kind of being cranked up on Walt a lot through this episode, for sure.
Yeah, yep. And so it's just, you know, there's more subtext than text here. And that's awesome.
Well, we're just very astute, and we can read through lines that most people can't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because when people, I told people, I was like, hey, we're doing Half Measures this week. They're like, oh, that's the one with the car where it hits those two guys. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's the Peanuts episode for me. That's how I remember it. I forgot about the car thing because, you know, when you're into this as much as I am, like, you get excited about the subtext and the text is just noise.
It's just, it's just filler for you, yeah.
Yeah, I should have graduated summa cum laude or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm known for.
Summa cum
laude. Yeah, cumming loud.
I don't know. Yeah, they're watching Jeopardy, and then Walt's like, I should probably leave.
Walt goes, he tries to get a hold of Jesse, then the news is like, hey, guess what? Kid's dead, and he's like, well, I gotta go.
I tried to look up if that was our old friend Antoinette Antonio on the news, and I could not confirm or deny. I couldn't find anyone. I couldn't figure out who was reading the news there.
Well, you should tag her in this one week anyways and see.
I'll tag her, yeah.
See if the episode gets taken down again.
We'll tag her in the description and see if she really cares about her image again.
I'm going to find this lady. I'm going to meet her, and I'm going to say, why didn't you like us enough? What did we say, Antoinette?
And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I have nothing to say. My brains are noodles right now.
It's okay. We're almost done.
Yeah, but I want to keep going. Okay. So let's just do this for another hour.
Another hour, but I have to take my kids to a thing.
Oh, okay. You're right. All right. We'll wrap it up. Well, actually, this is important because next we see Jesse snorting drugs off of what, Meg?
A CD.
This is a good season for CDs, because last episode, Gale's phone's ringing on a pile of blank CDs.
Oh, that's true. And he also was a vinyl guy, too. So he
Yeah. So they want... Vince Gilligan wants to let you know that optical discs are still alive and welcome.
But they may bring your demise. It seems like people who are in close proximity to CDs, compact discs, are in deadly situations and sometimes killed. So maybe he was a fan of the, like, he was an early investor in, what do they call those, Zunes? Maybe
Meg, was that some subtext you just dug up?
I think it was.
That was some subtext. Not on the nose. That was wonderful.
We did it.
But we did it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he snorts a bunch of meth.
And then he gets all hyped up and he sees the bad boys and he's like, I'm going to go kill those guys. And then he stomps out of his car like,
which is
not subtle at all.
Yeah, not like, I don't know, sneak up on him. Like, don't.
Yeah, why? Because he was just basically, he had a death wish there, because if it weren't for what was about to happen, mm-hmm. he would have absolutely died and probably not even taken out one of the dudes.
Yeah.
But I guess meth isn't known to be one of those thinky drugs, you know?
Yeah, I assume, I mean, I've never done it, but I assume if you do meth, you feel like you could take a bullet or two and be fine.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Sure.
For this next part, how much of it did you watch?
I did see the men get hit, and
okay.
I went, oh my God.
And did you do this?
I didn't do that. It just came out of nowhere too quickly. So I was like, oh my God. And then, when he picked up the gun, I looked away.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I don't like to see stuff at like, you know, I know it's
not real.
And I know it probably wouldn't even been gory, but like, I just didn't like to see it.
I was debating telling you about the car thing, but I was like, it's not, it's like more comical. I don't know. it's not as bad as the knife.
It's certainly not as bad as the knife. It's just, you know what was wild about it was the aftermath with like the way the dude's legs were pointing.
Yeah.
That was messed up. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But yeah. Yeah. Well, hits two guys with his car. This is probably the most famous part of this episode. Definitely.
I bet the episode meme this week is like them up in the air and us being like rolling into Thanksgiving, like, or something like that.
Oh man, I was gonna suggest you use the hand job thing, but that's funny. I mean, you can do two memes in a week, who cares?
Yeah, for sure.
That's very funny.
It was what I think the sound effects too, like the sound design on this scene was very textured. Like I heard some wetness, I heard some crunching. It was, mm-hmm. I believe those people were hit by a fucking car, you know?
And so you've known for a while, I was curious, because this seemed to have taken you by surprise. There's 4 minutes left in an episode. And you know Walt's car is a little banged up next episode. Did you, were you like, well, something's got to happen to Walt's car, or had you forgotten about that?
You know, I knew early in the episode that something was about to happen, but I think just, like, this scene drew me in a little bit, and I wasn't outside of the scene. I was in the story. I knew it was going to happen today, though. I absolutely did.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's good. And then Walt gets out, and he just goes, run.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. And that's, whoa, man, was that a long week between then and the final one?
Oh, man.
Because it's a game. It changes the entire status quo of the show, him doing that.
This episode? Well, I guess I'll find out now, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, because think how chummy everyone is with Walt. And then literally from here until the season 4 finale, everyone wants Walt to die.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, and it's because he did this. This was it. And then Gail didn't help. Killing Gail was certainly.
Yeah, they're on a bit of a fucking tear, like, in these two episodes. In the span of seemingly 3 days, they're like, oh, who else can we kill? Is there anyone else we can kill? And then all of season 4 is just planning to kill Gus.
Yeah, this made them want to kill Walt, and then Walt killing Gail made him unkillable.
Mm.
So that was a good plan. But hey, you know what? It was good shit. Meg, what do you rate this?
I know I shouldn't take so long to think about it just completely silently. Mm. Because it's just dead air on mic, so I'm just gonna fill it with empty words. But I
cut out a lot of dead air, so it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. You know, when I think about it, it's like this, for some reason, Full Measure was a more fun romp, even though they killed the love of my life in that episode. I want to say a minus. I don't want to give it a full A, but I think it's better than a B plus. So that's where it sits for me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, A minus would be the best choice then for you. it's between those two worlds.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah. It's, unless there's like an A, B plus 0.5 or something,
we could absolutely invent it. There's no reason we can't.
Sure.
Yes.
But yeah, this is the 15th greatest episode of all time, according to one person.
Yeah, somebody's opinion.
And I think, there's, I don't know, there's no Literally no under fives, no...
Is that right?
Yeah, I would have brought him up organically throughout the episode, which I'm wont to do now. except for our friend Antoinette, who might have been in there.
It may have been you, Antoinette, and...
Reading the news. Which she's good at.
She's great.
Yeah. Well, gobble, gobble, gobble to you, everyone. Happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day. And a mighty fine
Eisenberg
to you, fair listener.
Fair listeners.
Bye.
Bye. I guess next week's Thanksgiving, so that was premature.
Well, it's, I mean, they're going to listen to it.
Oh, this comes out the day before Thanksgiving, so. Yeah. Shit, I'm keeping all this in.